Welcome back into the Hawks Talk Podcast. Today is our analytics special where we have the members of the analytics team on to talk a little bit about things. Guys, let's go around the table. I guess we'll go this way. I guess that's clockwise. Introduce yourselves.
Hey, I'm Noah.
I'm Caleb.
I'm JT.
I'm Matt.
All right, guys. So talk a little bit about like each of your roles individually and kind of like what you all do during game days and even after, because the analytics job, there's no rest for the wicked.
Yeah, so I'm the Synergy data operator, so I run our Synergy system. Pretty much because MLB scouts can't come to every game, we want to provide a lot of video for them. So I set up 6 cameras at different angles. There's one in center field, one on each side, and I press record, let those go for the game, and then post-game I kind of just upload them, make sure everything's all right, and then we have a ton of film for people to, for scouts to review.
Just piggybacking off on what Noah said, I'm the TrackMan operator for the team. Since a lot of scouts can't come to the game, I record the ball on every pitch, the velocity, spin rate, movement, how far the ball was hit, all from the TrackMan camera, which is directly behind home plate.
I'm a data analyst, so I help with certain scouting reports when it comes to hitting, defense, and pitching. I also, once in a while, I go in and watch certain guys' film review off of Synergy just to see what pitches they don't hit well, what they're hitting well, and what counts, what situations, what kinds of pitch, and what areas of the strike zone they're not hitting well in, and what areas we need to avoid.
Yeah, so I'm the point streak guy. So every game I'm, you know, recording people's stats, you know, singles, doubles, that kind of stuff. Just basic stuff during the games, and then off the field, I'm doing the batting reports. Everybody can see their stats, you know, where they're hot and cold in the zone, you know, where they're hitting to all fields. You know, as long as they're given maximum effort on the field, then you know they'll see that on the scouting reports.
How'd you guys get into analytics? Since it's not exactly like the number one field you think of when it comes to baseball, it's kind of more outside the box. I mean, I guess Moneyball helped with bringing it to light, but how'd you guys get into it?
So, I realized I was too unathletic for sports.
Same.
I was behind a Vandy commit my freshman year back in baseball. Actually, he's playing in the NICBL, playing for Sanford, and he was originally at third base, moved to catcher, and realized probably baseball isn't for me, so decided to become a nerd, and just kind of picked it up off that, and then, you know, Moneyball became my major, so that was that.
I've always loved baseball my whole life. I mean, how can you not be romantic about baseball?
There's the Moneyball again.
Right? I had couple injuries playing in high school, which is why I ended up just playing club baseball. So I kind of knew my baseball dream was kind of over, but one day my father said something to me. He said, if you do something, make sure you do something you love for the rest of your life, and you'll enjoy your work, and you'll never feel like you're going to work every day. So I knew I wanted to stay in baseball. And I always loved math as a kid. I always loved anything STEM-related. Decided to go into baseball analytics, start studying that. Took my first steps with a online school called Sport Management Worldwide, where I met former general manager Dan Evans, Dodgers scout Hank Jones, a couple other guys. And from there, moved to the States, and things have just kind of taken off from there.
Similar story for me. I'm a washed-up former baseball player. Love the sport. I've always been fascinated by websites like Baseball Savant and Baseball Reference and just the stats kept. So that's how my interest in analytics started.
Yeah, I would say I was just really, really inspired by Jonah Hill's character in Moneyball. No, but actually, I don't know. I really like stats growing up, kind of just in general, ended up pursuing a stats major, and then, you know, I watched a lot of baseball growing up, so it's kind of just a natural fit of the two things, I guess.
You guys all have different positions at the Nighthawks, but day to day, what is the most difficult aspect of your job?
Probably the Hotel Coolidge Wi-Fi.
Oh yeah, a little five megabytes of download speed, sometimes one.
Yeah.
Or the water.
Oh.
Yeah, water's just fine.
The water's not great.
It builds character.
If you have an iron deficiency, it's great.
It is great. It's perfect. Sometimes I know for me in my past data internships, sometimes it can be a little bit frustrating when you are making a report or you're trying to find weaknesses on another team and then it doesn't translate onto the field. But that's something that's going to happen no matter what industry of sports analytics you work in. It's not always going to translate to field. You tell a guy, you know, hit the curveball on the outside part of the plate because this guy doesn't throw a very good one. It doesn't mean they're always going to do it. You know, so sometimes that can be a little bit frustrating, but then you have to kind of bring yourself back down to earth. Like, okay, it was one time. Baseball's a game of failure, you know, and then just keep grinding.
So, like, obviously y'all are well-versed in the analytics side of things, but for the fans that, you know, their knowledge of baseball stats kind of stays at batting average and counting stats, stuff like that, why are analytics so important to the modern age of baseball?
I mean, I think you just see, like, how much more, like, a player who embraces analytics can take a leap even when you would expect them to have peaked. I think Mookie Betts is a really good example of it. He was really good at the start of his career, but, like, he made a significant leap despite the fact that people maybe kind of thought he was at his potential, and now he's a perennial all-star, future Hall of Famer. And that's not to say he wouldn't have eventually gotten there, but he definitely stepped up his game. When he started embracing, I know, like, he definitely embraced the fly ball revolution a lot. Like, he wanted to hit the ball in the air a lot more, and stuff like that comes directly from, like, the type of stuff we do. Look at, you know, are you lifting the ball? What's your launch angle? Things like that, and really helps people take, like, that extra leap beyond just their physical ability.
Yeah, you can just use what's happening on the field and then, obviously, the numbers behind that, and then use that to kind of back up everything and then try and make what's happening there into a little bit better of a player.
Baseball, I feel like, is one of the more quantifiable sports when you kind of look at all of them as a whole. So that makes it really fun. It's like there's a stat for everything now. And then even when it comes to player development in the minor leagues, independent leagues, collegiate ball, you know, when it comes to player development, the analytics side has been so important now in making these guys better, like Noah said, with Mookie Betts. Big one, too, is also with pitching. You know, companies like Driveline Baseball are huge when it comes to that stuff. And virtually every pitcher who wants to be something is doing something along those lines that Driveline Baseball has revolutionized.
Bouncing off of that, how do the coaches use your stats? I saw, like, Noah writes that in his little book, like, pitching coach, but what are they actually doing?
Well, I think we'll provide them, like JT was talking about earlier, like, here is where, you know, maybe this pitcher doesn't throw a good curve on the outside, or this hitter struggles against inside pitches, and so when he's creating a game plan for the game for the starting pitcher, he'll probably look at what we have given him and we'll say, well, okay, these two batters can't hit a high fastball, and then he'll tell his pitcher going into the game, like, or, and he'll talk to the catcher as well, you know, call a high fastball against X batter because they're likely to swing and miss at it or something like that. Like, it'll help inform the game plan going in, pretty much, I think, is the clearest way it impacts the coaches.
I mean, there have been a couple times where I'm looking through Synergy and, you know, these top three of another team's hitters, it's like, wow, these guys are mashing the ball. Let me see what they're not hitting, you know? Or things like, okay, why are they having so much success? A couple guys I've seen, big first pitch fastball guys, right? So it's like, okay, don't throw him a first pitch fastball, and he's also hitting breaking ball first pitch. You filter some stuff out on Synergy, you see, okay, well, he's not hitting the changeup first pitch, or he's just taking it for a strike. So then you write that down in a notes section so the pitchers know how, you know, these guys aren't, they're not going to get beat by these guys, you know.
So I mean, obviously, definitely baseball intensive work here. You're very busy, not even just during game days, but off days as well. But when you take a step back away from baseball, what have been some of your favorite off day activities here in White River Junction, the Upper Valley?
We had a good time at Queechy Gorge on the 4th.
Oh, yeah.
You know, fun climbing little swimming up, area.
Gone down there a couple times.
Yeah.
Climbing up a waterfall.
Yeah.
That was cool. That was fun.
Yeah.
We took a couple day trips, too. We went to Martha's Vineyard during our team's doubleheader there, checked out the island, and then we took another day trip to Boston.
That was an exciting trip, to say the least.
Boston? Oh, yeah. That was a lot of events there. A lot of core memories.
Yeah.
Maybe some things I'd rather forget, but...
Yeah.
Send those to long-term memory.
I'm guessing you watched Inside Out recently.
Oh, I love that movie. Noah brought it up one day and was just like, we need to go see this movie. And I was like, oh man, I didn't know it was already coming out. So we made it our number one priority to go see Inside Out 2.
Yeah, we bought popcorn there too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
How was the movie?
Immaculate.
It was great.
I think Riley should have embraced hockey analytics a little bit more. But
oh, I agree.
I mean, look at the Corsi and numbers like that.
Yeah.
Could have been the next Pastrnak, but, you know.
But she had to get rid of anxiety.
Well, that's an important step development. It's an important step in player development.
I don't know. Anxiety was kind of making her better.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, so, you know.
But yeah, looking at how this team kind of has evolved over the past seasons. I mean, you look at the analytics team where it's made huge strides this year, and you combine that with the mental performance side of things with Devin Drake headed up by her. So it's kind of a complete wholesale approach here for the Nighthawks. How can players really use that when they go back to school to take that next step?
Not every school, but a lot of schools have managers and like student interns who do things similar to what we do, and I think it's definitely helpful to have kind of that continuation where they come here over the summer and they still have access to like the same structures and the same analytics that they do at school, so they don't like their development doesn't get slowed down at all while they're here because we have such a big team that's able to do so much. I think that's really special about the size of our team in this league especially.
Yeah.
I mean, you're also asking the wrong guy because Syracuse doesn't have a baseball team.
it's kind of why I didn't go to Syracuse. Yeah. One of the reasons, yeah.
Yeah,
also, it's cold.
It's cold. It's not that bad.
Yeah. I don't do cold well.
It just snows.
Yeah, that's kind of the big thing.
I know at Mason, my first year as a data analyst there, the pitching coach who's now in the Twins organization, he was one of the most analytically driven minds I've ever seen, and to make sure that you don't go from guy like that to I'm just gonna throw the ball as hard as I can over the summer, which unfortunately some guys do, which can lead to injuries. To make sure that you're still in a proper sequencing of development, especially if you're developing that second pitch a little bit more or you're developing your fastball shape a little bit better, it's so crucial for every pitcher when so many guys are throwing high velocity and four elite pitches at the professional level. You got to be able to keep up.
I think Boff is a very analytically minded coach as well.
Yeah.
He seems to want to, use what we give him.
Who wants it?
Who wants it?
This is kind of for JT and Caleb, but you guys actually have players from on the team that go to your schools for GMU, it's McCarthy, and for Slippery Rock, Purcell. Those guys, are they kind of like guys that you're kind of taking side projects on to kind of work more on, or at least guys that you can kind of have a fuller profile of because you've seen them a little bit more, maybe not as much with McCarthy since he didn't pitch his freshman year, but still kind of like guys that you – can see them at school, so it's kind of a guy that you want to work more with.
I'd be lying if I said I hadn't looked at Dylan's Synergy or TrackMan information. I have, just because he has so much potential, and George Mason is in a great spot for baseball right now. Had a rough last year, but he could be such an important part to that team's success. So you know, looking at his information once in a while. Yes, a little bit of side project here and there, just when I'm bored in the hotel Coolidge.
Similar to Justin, definitely check his stats a little more than the next guy. What also makes Purcell unique is he is a two-way player for us, which
it's pretty cool.
He's got 1,000 OPS.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And
it's not bad.
Otani of the NECBL. Otani of the NECBL. Put that on Twitter. Or X.
It's still Twitter.
Twitter?
It'll always be Twitter.
It'll always be Twitter. Yeah. It still says formerly Twitter on the link, doesn't it? When you, every time you search it up.
I think so, yeah.
Everyone still calls it tweeting, so I mean.
Tweeting, like, that is true.
Well, it's better than posting. It's very generic.
Yeah.
Posting just doesn't have the same kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
But hey, they have a built-in AI now, so, you know, this app is wonderful.
That's what matters.
That only premium users can use, actually.
Oh, sick. Yeah.
But we are premium users now.
We're
verified?
We are now verified on Twitter. Matt made that happen the second he questioned why we couldn't post videos more than 2 minutes. And I told him, and then 1 hour later, we had Twitter premium. So you can...
He gets the job done.
And he gets that we are verified. I do have a question, though, for you guys. I watched you guys set up the synergy and everything the first few days. And you guys were testing it out. So who can throw the fastest?
I think out of the group, I was the only one to throw, right?
No, I throw. Trackman only picks up a pitch if it is above 50 miles per hour. I threw, I believe, 2 pitches. One of them registered. That one hit the dirt about 5 feet before home plate, at least.
Good changeup.
Good changeup.
Swing and miss.
Yeah. I think I, what, threw like 62 or something?
Yeah.
We'll have to retest it during the baseball game tonight.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't do
that. I think it was a misread.
Do I need to set up synergy for that?
No. I'm surprised you didn't do the Hartford Heat thing that, when they were at the game yesterday with the radar gun. Missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Everyone should throw.
My elbow's already toast. Like,
yeah, well, toast it even more.
Yeah.
We got intern baseball later.
Yeah.
Oh no! Here we go.
You got a few bullets left in that arm.
Yeah. Sure. That's why I play second base, because I have a couple bullets left in this arm.
Do we like have gloves and stuff for that, by the way?
Yeah. Okay. I have a few. I have like 4 this year. Yeah. All
right.
Cool. I got like 4 or 5 in my car.
Can we get walk-up songs for that too?
Yeah.
You're supposed to send a list out, but.
I'm going out straight barehanded.
What would your walk-up songs be?
Oh, it's Firework. It's Firework by Katy Perry all day. It's been that.
I'd probably walk up to Bags by Claro.
Okay.
That's a really good question. Probably Maniac by Stray Kids. I think, yeah, that's what I did for a little bit.
I think I'd go Cult of Personality.
Oh, yeah.
Big CM Punk fan over there?
No. I am aware it is from CM Punk, but I know Kyle Schwarber walks up to it for the Phillies and looks pretty cool. So okay. I think I'd go with that.
So you're going to go yard today?
Yes.
This is a very hesitant yes.
I felt the confidence over here.
I'd go yard at Keene. I don't know if I could do it here.
Yes.
I want to think of a wittier answer, but that's the best I got.
I think we're playing at the Little League field. We're not playing on the big park.
Yeah. So we're playing at a Keene equivalent stadium?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So we need to show off power.
Yeah, I'm taking you dead center if we're playing there.
The
450 dead center.
The actual field is reserved from 3 to 9. Allegedly.
For who? The Nighthawks?
I don't know.
It's like Coach 84.
Who else
is okay, like, so yeah, it's Legion Ball.
Complex. Yeah. Man,
I always check because I always want to hit, and then it's always reserved.
Yeah, it's a Legion Ball team that's got the field. But we have the Little League park, which does put the home run back in play. And
Is it ever out of play?
From intern baseball last year, there were a ton of tanks to be hit.
Wait, so, do we have to use wooden bats?
No.
Yes.
Oh.
No.
Thank God.
Do you have a wooden bat?
I do.
Well, that's one.
I have 3.
I have metal. I assume someone else probably has metal.
Yeah, I have a ton of baseball gear in my car.
Or use whatever bat is handed to me.
Wiffle ball.
Yeah, go up there with a wiffle ball bat. God.
Good work. I'll use the sweet spot bat that we have in the press box, the one that is like the little indent.
Or just use the fungo bat. Get that outside pitch.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. go hobby.
The team will not be happy when you get sawed off with the Funko bat.
I'm about to throw the nastiest 32-mile-an-hour.
Do we know is Bruce Bolt providing the interns gloves for their?
No.
That's really too bad.
Not in the budget.
Yeah. I was trying to get the new Bruce Bolt Whataburger batting gloves.
Really?
Yes, that's an actual thing they're doing. It's a collaboration with Whataburger. They made Whataburger batting gloves.
They collab everything these days.
Yeah.
Next up is Costco.
the $1.50 hot dog combo, batting gloves.
$1.50.
It's a good deal.
Batting gloves, yes.
If they ever raise the price of those, of that food, a riot.
The founder said, you know, they'll do it over his dead body. So
yeah, I'm a riot.
All right, before we get on any more of a tangent, we'll wrap this one up. But thanks so much to the analytics team coming on this analytics special on the Hawks Talk podcast. We'll be back next week with the All-Star special. We'll have all the All-Stars coming on and talk about their experience so far. All-Star rosters announced on the 14th. The podcast episode on the 15th, so that's not far away. But until then, for Megan Robinson, Allie Wenskowski, my name's Ian Binky. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. Till then, take care and have a good one.